Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelday providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelday can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, where we're all about transformation and purification as we aim to mine a few nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though that might at first seem a little bit counterintuitive, like a nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm so happy that you could join me today because I've got a fantastic guest today. Do you ever wonder how you're going to get through these troubled times? I mean, the world seems to have gone mad, doesn't it? How are you going to do it without compromising yourself, stopping being true to you? Well, my guest today could well have the answer. She's a professional medium and author. Her name is Carol Obley, and her latest book is called The Art of Sensing, a guide for staying true to your soul's journey through challenging times. Sounds perfect for now, doesn't it? Now, Carol has given more than 15,000 group and individual readings as a medium, and as an advanced intuitive, she'll often go way beyond to deliver specific practical guidance about a wide variety of life issues, including relationships, business, and spirituality. So I was intrigued to ask her what the inspiration was for this book. Here's what she had to say.
Well, there were two. The first is from 30 years of doing professional mediumship for people. To date, over 15,000 readings. And the second inspiration was the world. Wow. Where we're at in collective humanity with immense transformation and change. And so with the mediumship sessions, there were questions that, you know, throughout the years, I've heard over and over again, what is my purpose here? Why do I struggle with this particular challenge? You know, what am I supposed to be doing in life? How do I become still and listen to my soul's guidance? And so after hearing this over and over, and of course, in my previous books, I've addressed these same topics, but I wanted to blend them as to specifically the relevance of transformation, spiritual transformation within the individual, and how that is connected to and ultimately affects the transformation of the unified whole.
I love that. Yeah. And so that is the premise of the book. And I think it's so important for us to understand that we're not going to transform the whole, the unified whole of life on this earth without transforming ourselves. So tell us more about the art of sensing. So what is it that we need to do? How do we start? Is it about tuning into ourselves? Is it about tuning into our environment? What's the most important thing here?
This is a book simply written, by the way, and relatively easy read, as all of my books are. about opening and trusting and following the inner guidance of one's soul. And by doing so, eliminating a lot of suffering in life, a lot of discomfort, and having clarity of direction. And I have encountered so many people over the years, both personally and just through observation, in on social media and in the media in general, who are sort of directionless and not really understanding what they need to do. And so, our brain, our rational brain, which we absolutely need, it's nothing bad about it. We have to have a physical brain, might tell us one thing. And well, I want a career, or I want to do something where I'm going to be in the spotlight and I'm going to make a whole bunch of money. And the soul, in the meantime, is saying that's not what this is about. The soul, that gentle whisper that is always present, it's a matter of tuning into it. It's much like, a radio station or television, you have to turn it on in order to tune in. So our soul is always speaking, but we will never hear it when we're, connecting with the, I call it the outer landscape, which is anything external to the soul or to the inner landscape, which is that sanctuary of the soul and the inner reality. And so I thought, we're in this chaotic time collectively, but what about the individual? Because that's where it really all begins. I'm reminded of one of my favorite entertainers has been Michael Jackson. And I always say there'll never be another Michael Jackson. I thought he was just a diamond, which is very rare as far as his talent. But he wrote a song called The Man in the Mirror. And the song's essence is about looking into that mirror and saying, what is going on with me? What can I do? How can I change? How can I be more in tune with my inner reality? And then that ripples out to the outer reality. So the idea is the individual is a microcosm of the macrocosm of the entirety. And so any change has to begin with the individual. And that comes from the connection with one's own soul, which is always leading through spiritual wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're on UK Health Radio here. And of course, this is a very basic premise when it comes to health and well-being. Because if we're not, this is what I believe anyway, if we're not acting in harmony with, if you want to call it, your soul's purpose, then things aren't going to be working properly in any way in your system. You'll get disease, all kinds of things will go on. Now, it's not the sole, reason for ill health, probably, but it's a huge thing, isn't it, when it comes to well-being? Because unless we're actually following the path that we're supposed to be on, all that resistance is just going to build up a lot of issues for us, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm glad that you mentioned that about the wisdom of the body. The body is always seeking balance and harmony. And if one system in the body is off, it's going to affect all the others in one way or another. It might be a big effect, it might be not so large. So the soul is the same way, or as being in charge of our life. If we get off of that pathway, it's much like having a spinal alignment. If one disc is out, and I'm personally experiencing that right now,
Oh dear. I'm sorry to hear that. It's painful.
oh yes. So, if we come out of alignment with why we're here, and by the way, the only reason why we're here, meaning on the physical plane, is to evolve spiritually. The body is a wonderful vehicle that the soul can use to express itself through, obviously, in optimal health, but also through disease and imbalance. Because through those conditions, we can also go into the emotional aspect of self, the spiritual aspect, of course, of self, and our mental aspect as well, because they're all integrated. We can't really separate them. Allopathic medicine has, to a large degree, done that. I think that's changing now in that there's more of an integration that's recognized that we can't really separate. Is this person, if the person's going through depression, well, their back might start aching. They might develop some other illnesses, or they're always tired. So, we can't really separate the portions of self. They're a unified whole. And the body is a wonderful vehicle for the soul to use to evolve through.
Yes, and so let's just talk about the book for a moment, because you've split it into three parts. Part one is your inner landscape. So that's about discovering what's going on inside this body of ours and inside this, I call it a system, right? Because it's not just the physical, but it's the everything else, energy system as well. So it's looking at what's going on here, and you talk about discovering the unlimited eternal you, and then talk about intuition. Tell me a little bit more about what you see as intuition and how that's important, because a lot of people dismiss intuition, don't they? Still.
Unfortunately, yes. Intuition is available to everybody, but again, it's a matter of tuning into it. Why do I say that it's available to everybody? Because everyone is a soul. What is a soul? It is a part of the divine. And so the voice of the soul comes in that we've all heard the expression, the still small voice and that whisper. So it is very subtle. And that's why it's necessary to become still or quiet, not for hours and hours, but carving out a few moments throughout your day, even if you're at work, to close your eyes and go into that inner landscape and see what is the weather pattern there. Is there anxiety? Is there any fear? Is there stress? We know how detrimental stress is to our mental well-being, our emotional well-being, and also the body, because stress sends the adrenals in overdrive and can impact the immune system. So spending time just for snippets, short periods of time, I consider it sort of a reset. And say that you had a very stressful morning with your work. At lunchtime, you might take that couple of minutes, close your eyes. I know for me, when I do that, I open my eyes again after a few minutes. It's like a new world. It feels different. The problems haven't changed. The outside world is the same. But it's me that's taken responsibility to change my perception of it and how I'm going to process the stress.
And responsibility is really important, isn't it? And you talk about that in part two of the book, where you talk about surrendering and releasing the resistance to your soul's intention, or what you are here, why you're here, and what you're here to do. And you talk about natural laws and personal responsibility and choice in that section of the book. But you also talk about dark nights and finding meaning, value, and purpose through difficulties. That's what we might call the dark night of the soul, isn't it? I've had a few of those in my life, I have to say. And I guess they have taught me a lot. But tell me what your observations are about the dark nights.
The dark night is where we feel abandoned by spirit, or what most people call God, or higher power, source, whatever you want to call it. It's all one. And importantly, there's a hopelessness. And, is it, it's always going to be this way, what I'm experiencing. So say, for example, that I've lost a loved one, someone very dear to me, and we go through the grieving process. This is something I've dealt a lot with people in healing. And people have to understand, first off, it's an timetable with grieving, but you have to learn to say, this too shall pass. And so everything in the physical plane is unstable. Most of us, as you were saying, experience a time when we feel alone, like nobody cares. We might feel like we're hopeless. And that's the dark night. And this was first put out by Saint John of the Cross. Is kind of a mystic. And I mean, we're back in the 1600s. Him. He did not title it The Dark Night, but in subsequent years, that's what it came to be known as. And he felt very, very abandoned by the God that he had given his life to. And so I think each of us, in some way, we go into a dark night. The circumstances might vary, but the feelings, the experiences are the same. So that's when we really need to connect to that voice of the soul, which does offer hope and comfort and guidance.
Indeed. Well, we'll hear more about these dark nights shortly. First, it's time for us to take a short break to hear some messages from our fabulous sponsors. Back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and medium and author Carol Obley. We were talking about the concept of the dark night, that place where we feel lost and abandoned in a dark, dark place. I find that no matter how dark a place you find yourself in, you do have to hold faith that it will pass. And it's only once you've come out of that place that you can look back and see what you've learned from all that you've gone through. And it's so empowering when you do that.
You are spot on with that, because one of the things I discuss in The Art of Sensing is being diagnosed with a serious illness, such as cancer. My dear friend, and I use her example with her permission, of course, of having breast cancer, and how that changed her. I do not believe that it's possible to courageously face any type of serious illness without it in some way transforming the person. And we go through stages, just like with the loss of a loved one who has passed into spirit. We might go through denial, bargaining, the five stages Elizabeth Kubler-Ross put out. And finally, we come to the stage of acceptance. I would also call that surrender to what is. When we surrender, whether it's the end of a marriage, the loss of a job, a serious illness, the death of a loved one, or whatever else it might be, we automatically eliminate resistance. Resistance causes suffering. It's sort of like if you and I were having a tug of war with a rope, and you're pulling as hard as you can, and I'm pulling as hard as I can, and our muscles tense up, and we get, you know, we might start getting pain because we're holding on. There's a lot of resistance there. The minute we let go of that, our end of the rope, is when relief comes. Now, in no way am I suggesting that all the problems are solved in that moment of surrender. But what does happen is surrendering opens the door to allow healing to occur, whether that means a physical healing or not, but a greater or deeper acceptance of one day at a time, living one day at a time, which is a useful philosophy for anyone. It's from 12 step, but I believe it's useful for anyone. And putting one foot in front of the other and saying, I'm moving forward. Without surrender, we're still coming from our own ego and from our rational mind, where the soul says, I've got this. I've got this for you. And that's the main difference between the egoic perspective and the soul's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, everything is a choice, isn't it? We have a choice as to how we go forward. So personal responsibility comes in there. And you talk about natural laws. So when you're talking about the natural laws in relation to this, what is it that you're actually talking about here?
Natural laws are also called universal laws. And they were put into place whenever creation began, whenever that might be.
Yeah.
They are immutable. They are timeless. They are eternal. And they will always supersede man-made or human-made law. So they operate completely independently of what you think, what I believe, what anybody wants to be true. Natural law, much like the law of gravity. That's a physical law. But if I say, well, you know, I'm going to throw this pencil, I'm going to pull it off the end of my desk, but I don't believe in gravity, so it's not going to fall. But it will, obviously, because the law of gravity is in effect. So it's the same way with natural law. For example, most people are familiar with the law of karma, and that's cause and effect. For every cause, there will be an effect. For every effect, there is a cause. You don't have to do anything. It just is. And so whether I believe in that, if I believe I'm invincible and I can rob you or kill you or do whatever I want without any repercussions, or personal responsibility. Natural law says, no, this will return to you. And I believe if this was taught in elementary school all the way through college, that we would have a much different world, because people would understand that we each are responsible for every single thing that we put into the entirety of consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. I am totally with you on that. I do so wish that that kind of thing were taught in schools, but I don't think that that really fits the school modus operandi, does it? It's not what schools are set up to do. It's not about the personal. It's about the person within the state, I think. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. I often look back on my own schooling and I wish that I would have been taught much more about practical living, but also on the intuitive end, because that is never brought up.
Never.
I have a minor from college in psychology, and I've always really, really been have a deep interest in you know, what drives people to do what they do, or why are people like they are, you know, crime and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that that can become much more useful in navigating life. And also those who are, as children, intuitive, naturally intuitive and sensitive, that kind of fall through the cracks and are bullied or made fun of or feel like outcasts. I was always a highly sensitive child, and I was absolutely traumatized by some teachers that I had. And nobody ever, I'd had nobody to turn to, to explain that to me and, why I was like I was, and that I have a sensitivity to other people and to the environment. So these sorts of things, and hopefully the curriculum will change. But I think that, as you said in the beginning, in the opening, some people still don't believe in intuition, or they dismiss it. They might believe in it, but they go, well, I need the facts. And with intuition, you're not going to have, at least right away, you're not going to have external validation.
Right, exactly. And they don't trust it, is the thing, right? Because you can trust,
Yes.
in quotes, facts, but intuition, which just comes to you with no facts to support it, how can you trust that? People will say, right? It's too tenuous. It's not solid. Intuition isn't solid, is what they say.
It's nebulous.
Nebulous is the word I was looking for. Thank you very much. Yeah, nebulous.
You mentioned the word trust. That is the number one obstacle that when I've had years of teaching in intuition development and mediumship development, that people face, and that they have to go over that hurdle of not trusting their perceptions. And so when we do the exercises in class, you'll have, I've noticed a lot of hesitation, which is completely normal when people are starting to open this up. But the more that you allow the flow of intuition from the soul to come through, the more that you'll get the validation that you need. And it starts to come more quickly. You might hear somebody goes, do, 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 we're just talking off the cuff, and somebody says something and it validates something I had felt. Or I read something in a book. That's funny. I was just thinking about that. So those are synchronicities, meaning meaningful coincidences. Carl Jung, the famous psychoanalyst, talked about synchronicity, and he had many examples of dealing with patients, his patients, with synchronicity that created meaning for the recipients of those experiences.
It's a fascinating area to look at, actually. There's an awful lot that Jung was interested in and worked with that I think people don't realize. In other words, the esoteric side of things. He was very, very interested in all of that and did a lot of work around that.
Certainly did. Yeah.
So trusting one's own feelings and intuitions, that's very important, and going inside and listening to yourself. And then you talk about one's unique spiritual adventure, and you actually talk about astrology. Now, I heard somebody, a very well-known astrologer, recently talk about how, people poo-poo astrology, but actually our entire universe is just energy, it's just vibration. And wouldn't it make sense that where planets are and how they're placed, that will affect the vibration down here on Earth? And I thought that was a brilliant way of explaining how astrology works and how it impacts us. And you talk about the intention of your soul and how your astrological birth chart connects with that. So tell us a bit about that.
Yes, I've been studying astrology for many, many years, probably about 20 years. I took formal in-person classes and then I studied online. I've read multiple books on astrology. And what I've discovered is I do not have much interest in mundane astrology. I prefer to help people with karmic astrology, looking at the birth chart, the exact minute that that soul came into physical form, and where the planets were, the signs they were in, the relationships with one another, that they were in. And the houses, there are 12 houses in astrology, just as there are 12 signs. The houses represent areas of human life. So what I do is I have my astrology software here and I look at the chart during the session. I'll actually study it prior to the session and see what did the soul sign up for this time? What direction is the soul pulling this individual to experience in order to evolve? Because again, that's the only reason we're here. But there are certain conditions here, the physical body being one of them, that provide very valid and useful teaching tools for the soul to evolve. And so, looking at the chart, and by the way, there is a branch called medical astrology, and you can look at the at someone's birth chart, at the ascendant or the rising sign, and the sixth house, which is related to health. And depending upon the sign that is on the cusp of those two locations, you can pretty much have a great intuition about what's going to affect that individual's body. And even if there's no planets there in the birth chart, you can see what the predisposition health-wise is with that individual. And then because the planets are always moving, it's called transits, when a particular planet might go through one of those two points, the ascendant or the sixth house, there might be an illness that develops or some other sort of condition that might develop health-wise or even mentally, with the individual. So it's very, very accurate, despite what people might think.
Really interesting, isn't it? We'll hear more about astrology shortly, including some revelations from my own chart. But first, it's that time again, break time. I'll be back with more from Carol Obley right after these messages from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist on the world's number one talk health radio station. Today, I'm speaking with author and medium Carol Obley. And before the break, we were talking about astrology and how your sixth house can offer insights into your health. Now, I don't have much of anything going on in my sixth house, but I do have a lot going on in my eighth house. So I asked Carol what that's all about.
Yeah, well, the eighth house is related to the sign of Scorpio. And Scorpio is ruled by the planet Pluto. Each sign has a ruler of one of the planets. And the eighth house is about digging very deep psychologically, investigating, doing, there are scientists who, looking at things under microscopes that might have a packed eighth house. Going down into the depths of one's trauma, the eighth house can be kind of traumatic. It also deals with death. The eighth house deals with death. So there's a lot of meaning, and some of them quite varied, with each house. But it's also a house of transformation because Pluto, the planet Pluto, is about death. Physical death, but also metaphoric death in transforming oneself.
So no guessing where I was going to have to end up talking about transformation and well-being and healing. Four planets in the eighth house. And that was quite strong. And, you know, it's absolutely obvious that I had to be doing what I'm doing now. But I guess, you know, we do follow eventually our life's path, even if initially we might, for many reasons, social reasons, society reasons, all sorts of reasons, we're sort of pushed off the path. But I guess we hopefully find our path in the end.
Yes, most people naturally gravitate towards these things called the, well, there are two. There's the South Node. And these are lunar nodes, meaning they're mathematically calculated. You can't look through a telescope and see them like one of the planets. However, they are relevant in that they show the South Node is the soul's prior experiences prior to the current lifetime. The North Node, by contrast, is the evolutionary pathway of the soul. So you can look at those things and see, oh, this is the direction that the soul intended. The intention of the soul is signified by that north node. Now, what I have discovered is that most people naturally gravitate towards their north node without knowing anything about a node. If you went out on the street and interviewed people, well, where's your lunar node, your north node? They're going to go, what? What are you talking
about? Yeah.
But most people unconsciously gravitate towards that. And if we don't, we will get these things called wake-up calls. And it might be something very painful. It might be something that, you know, we didn't absolutely anticipate. But in the long run, as you were saying earlier, it puts us back on the onto the pathway, transform.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And as I said earlier, I've been through a few of them and hopefully I'm on that path now. Now, just anybody listening to this will be saying, this is all great, but how do I get from where I am to that point? What can I do? So also in your book, you have some very helpful tips and exercises for people to do. And it would be great if you could just give us a few ideas of what we might do just to start that intuition flowing, to get to know our bodies, ourselves, get to know what we're about. Breathing is one of them. I know that a lot of people I speak to say, you know, we should all learn how to breathe more coherently and more effectively. We all breathe, otherwise we'd be gone off the planet. So maybe you could let us know of a breathing exercise or, you know, how to build up our body awareness.
Breathing, focusing on the breath is probably the number one thing that anyone can do. It's so simple, a child can do it. And that's just sitting quietly. And the treadmill, I call it the treadmill of the mind, it will go on and on and on into infinity. However, what we can do to slow that down or to interrupt it is to put the attention, meaning our focus, on the breath. And you simply sit quietly. You can do it with eyes open, eyes closed. And you're going to follow the breath as it comes in. You can actually place your hand either on the chest or on the abdomen and feel that and also become aware of the exhalation. And so what does that do? Well, it interrupts this treadmill, which is what causes all the problems.
Yeah.
You know, now mindfulness, which is another tool that I personally use, and I've mentioned in the book, in The Art of Sensing, is becoming the observer of thoughts. And so, you know, people go, well, that's all well and good. I don't know what you're talking about. So it takes a little bit of practice. But after you do your breathing, and your mind's going to kick up, your mind's going to go, well, you know, oh boy, I've got this, this, and this to do today. And I'm here I am wasting time, you know, just sitting here focusing on my breath. So the mind is working as it needs to be. So what you do is you put distance between that thought, oh, I better get moving. I got this, and this to do on my to-do list. And you pull back from it. And again, it might take a few times to, and it's okay if you can't do it the first times you try, but keep at it. Because what happens is most people identify with thoughts. What does that mean? We take them on. We internalize them. They become part of us. And that's where they can actually go into the body. If held long enough, if they're strong enough, can actually cause disease. I like the breakdown of that word, dis ease. And so what this does is it goes, that's a thought, and I'm not going to suppress it. Yeah, I'm anxious. I need to get these things done, and I better hurry up, and I've got to do them. So that thought comes up, and I notice it, much like clouds are coming over me if I'm lying on my back on a nice summer day looking at the sky. And I just notice them, but I'm not going to go up there and pull them down and make them part of me. I'm simply observing them. So that's what mindfulness does, and it's sort of putting space between your essential consciousness and the thought or the belief, whatever that might be. You know, I once heard that 95%, maybe higher, of what we worry about never even happens.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Absolutely. And it brings me back to Eckhart Tolle. He wrote, of course, his first book was The Power of Now, living in the now. And you mentioned that in your book, the power of living in the now, in the present moment, because that's where your power lies. Everything else either is just a thought, may never happen, probably doesn't happen. And Byron Katie is another person who I think of when we talk about these things. She always says, well, just ask yourself, is that true? Because we keep worrying about things that might or could or have, and all these thoughts come into our head, and she challenges us to say, is that true?
Yes.
And it very often isn't, because you can't prove it, because it's not in the now. The now is where we are. The now is where our power is.
I think that we do, human beings, we view the world from our personal perspective. In other words, all of these things that have gone before, which is collectively labeled the past, which you cannot hold in your hand, nor can you hold the future in your hand. Right now, right here in this moment, is real and what we have. And by the time we realize that, it's gone. And then it's the past. So, but all healing happens in the present moment.
Correct. Yeah.
That's all
Yeah,
we
it does.
have. And it has nothing to do with how much money you have, your station in life, what your gender, your race. Every person has right now. That's our commonality. That's all we have.
I love that. I love that you're saying that. Wow. I could speak to you for ages, but unfortunately, we've come to the end. And I think it's a great book, The Art of Sensing. I really recommend that people read it, go out and buy it and read it. And all that remains really is for me to say, where can people find out more about you? The book is available everywhere. On all the usual places, anyway, online and in bookstores. But where can people find out more about you if they want to, Carol?
On the web, soulvisions, that's plural, .net, that's my website. And my publisher is collectiveinc.com. The book is also available on ebook. And of course, Amazon, UK, and Amazon.com here in the US. And you will not get an autographed copy, however, from those places, but you will from my website. So if you do
Oh.
want an autographed copy, I will have that up soon. It's actually on there now on my website.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I read internationally for people on many countries, as well as the US nationally, through Zoom or on the phone. So, and all my books are on my website as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Thank you so much. So many great insights. And it's been fabulous meeting you and spending time with you in your presence, in the now of your presence. Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
And, you know, good luck with everything.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The lovely Carol Obley there. Her website, again, is soulvisions.net, and there's an S on the end of vision. Her book is The Art of Sensing, a guide for staying true to your soul's journey through challenging times. And I would say it is a great companion to have with us right now. We had a few glitches with the recording there, but hopefully I caught most of the audio dropouts and it didn't spoil your enjoyment. I think we can make The Art of Sensing our book of the day, don't you? Highly recommended. And a quick mention of our plant of the day, which for me has got to be honeysuckle. I noticed it flowering beautifully near where I live the other day, and it's something that always stops me in my tracks, mainly so that I can breathe in the beautiful scent. It's one that I've adored since my childhood. Honeysuckle does have some medicinal properties, though. The flowers are edible. Just steer clear of the berries. And the flowers have been used as a herbal remedy for bronchial coughs, asthma, rheumatism, colds and flu, amongst other things, which I was never really aware of when I was younger. Some people even use the flowers as a culinary garnish. You can add them to tea blends as well. Adds a delicate flavour, apparently, and vinegars. Although I must admit, I've never done that. Maybe this year I'll try it. Now, we really are coming to the end of the show. Before I go, a reminder to check out tiktokophobia.com. That's tik-tokophobia.com. And listen to the podcast I co-host with Alexia Leachman, all about the wide-ranging effects of the reproductive anxiety disorder currently named tokophobia. You can also read all about it in the current issue of Health Triangle magazine. Subscribe to that at the ukhealthradio.com homepage. You can find out everything else I'm up to at thepracticalalchemist.uk and also on social media. The links are all on that website. All of which brings us to the end of the show. Heartfelt thanks to all of you for listening. Join me next time for more great guests, more information, and more practical alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.
To modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.